Well, we've prayed in that last song, so I won't pray to begin because we've prayed in some very helpful words, I think, in that song that we sang. Okay. Who are you? Who are you? What is your identity? Who am I? Well, I'm the son of Margot and Martin. I'm the husband of Joy, father of Richard and Joanne, and the grandfather of four lovely grandchildren. So part of who I am is defined by all of those relationships. I'm a minister in the Anglican Church. I'm part of the staff here at Waitara Anglican. So that's part of my identity. I am an Australian. Even though I was born in Hong Kong, I was naturalised as an Australian. I've got my certificate to prove it in 1979, here in Hornsby. So I'm an Aussie, and I belong here. When I travel overseas, here's my backpack, and it has my Aussie flag on it to show that I'm an Aussie, that I belong here. I mean, I enjoy travelling. This pack's done a lot of travelling, but it's great to be overseas, but I'm not at home. I don't actually belong there. This is my home. I belong in Australia. So there's lots of things to do with our identity, who we are, and it really shapes very much how we live, having that sense of identity. So who are we as Christians? Well, we have a unique identity. And Peter, in these various verses that we've just read, points out that identity. Firstly, that we are citizens of heaven. Much more than being a citizen of Australia, an Aussie, I'm a citizen of that future presence in being with God. So he talks about that in various ways. He begins the letter with the words, to God's elect exiles scattered throughout the provinces, and he lists them. So he calls us exiles, not exiles from a country, but exiles from heaven. And then in verse 17, live out your time as foreigners here in this world. That we don't really belong here. That this is not our true home. And then in verse 11, in chapter 2, he calls us foreigners and exiles. So he's making it clear that we don't belong here, that our true home is somewhere else. You might say this world is just a bus stop on the way to heaven. You don't sort of settle down at a bus stop. So, back in chapter 1, as we saw last week, we have an inheritance in heaven, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. So he's saying, that's where we belong, that's our true home, so that we are citizens of heaven. And so this passage began with the words, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. So, you know, that's our true home. Set our eyes on that future. This new identity should shape our lifestyle. So he tells us to focus on that identity and our future inheritance and really take it to heart. So we are citizens of heaven, but we are also God's children. And so he says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. So we are God's children. It's another part of who we are. And it says, since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially. We call God our Father, so we need to be concerned about the things he is concerned about. That's part of our identity. Prince Harry, who was on TV just recently, coming to Australia, his identity is because his father is Prince Charles. He is a possible future heir to the throne of England and perhaps Australia. When he comes to Australia, he gets VIP treatment, doesn't he? Not perhaps exactly because of who he is, but because of who his father is, or his identity is because of who his family is. Who his father is. But God is a much more significant being. He is the most significant being in the universe. To be his children is a most significant identity, something far more than being the children of any king or president or whatever. So we are God's children. But we are also God's family. Having God as Father makes us part of his family. And so he says in verse 22, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for each other." And the word sincere love is actually brotherly love, or brotherly sisterly love, family love for each other. We've been drawn into this new family. So to be family is a vital part of who we are. We are not an only child. You have brothers and sisters. Just look around the room. These are your brothers and sisters. We are, in truth, God's family. And we are God's people. One of the greatest statements of our identity is in the last couple of verses that we read this morning, from verses 9 and 10. Maybe a bit small to see there, but let me read it to you. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Today we live in a society where identity is very often defined in terms of the individual. It's the age of the selfie, you know, taking a photo of yourself, so that the identity is not so much defined by family and anything else, but just by me. So that it's the age of the Facebook page. It's something which, in a sense, sort of cuts us off from other people when we just define ourselves by ourselves. But really, God is the centre of all reality. His love eclipses everything else. To belong to him is much more significant than anything else could be about our identity. To be his people, his priests, as that verse calls us. Now, in the Old Testament, it was only the priests who could actually go into God's presence to worship. That the other people had to stay in the outer courts of the temple. But all believers, each one of us, can now come right into God's presence in worship before him. We should never take that for granted. What a privilege to be who we are, to be his priests, to be his people. But note, it's not just as an individual that I belong to him. It's we are together, his people, a holy nation together, so that we are God's own people, not God's own person. So there we all are, part of being God's people here at Waitara, so that we belong to him together. Our relationship to each other is a vital part of our identity, of who we are. Just being or being an Aussie means belonging to this nation, but belonging to Jesus is something far more significant. Other parts of Scripture calls us the body of Christ. Together we belong and interact with each other. So as I've said, Western society so often puts the emphasis on the individual. Just me. But we need to see our shared identity, our identity based on our relationship to God himself, but also our relationship to one another within the body of Christ. So how did we get this identity? How do we come to be who we are? It wasn't based on our own achievements, on the fact that I'm good or have done special things. It's not something that I have by right or automatically have. We were redeemed. So verses 18 and 19 says, "You know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." To be redeemed is to be bought, to have a price paid to have you bought. Now we think of silver and gold as being very precious and worth a lot. Gold, I think, at the moment is worth something like $1,500 an ounce. But Christ's blood is something far more valuable, more precious than any bit of gold. To be that the fact that the Son of God should die for us is beyond price. Yet God was prepared to pay that price so that we could belong to Him, so that we could be His children, His family. So, we were redeemed, we were bought, we were also reborn. Verse 23 says, "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." Now, here's my birth certificate. It's a bit tattered. It's getting a bit old now, like me. But it says where I was born. It says who my parents were. It says the date of my birth. And those details about me. It's part of my identity. If I want to get a new driver's license or a passport or something like that, I've got to show my birth certificate. So my physical birth makes me who I am. With my genes and all that sort of thing that I inherit. But our rebirth, our new birth, is something far more wonderful in that it makes us God's children. It gives us a new life with Him now and for eternity. It's through His word that I've heard and believed that makes me who I am as God has given me rebirth. So, who are we? We are citizens of heaven. We're God's children. We're His family together, His chosen people, His priests. And how do we get there? By being reborn and by being redeemed. Well, if that's who we are, how should we live? And Peter is really going on for the rest of the book to tell us how we live as God's people. That's what the letter is about. But it's not just a matter of a whole list of do this, don't do that, sort of arbitrary rules. It's really living out our identity, who we are, knowing who we are, and living who we are. So it's important to understand our identity and then how we live it out. So he says, "Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy, for I, that's God, am holy.'" If we belong to God, if we are his children, his people, we need to show the family likeness, his holiness. But what does it mean to be holy? It's a sort of a special religious word that, how do we actually live it out? Well, firstly, he tells us how not to live it out. And part of holy is about being separate, being different from those around us. So he says, "Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance." And then he goes on in verse 18, "You were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors." So he's saying the world around us is off track. It's not really living like God's children should live. So we're not to copy the pattern of our society unthinkingly. I mean, there's many good things in our society, but we must question its values and not just absorb them without thinking. So it's individualism. It's materialism, it's self-centered lifestyle, it's pleasure focus, all of these things. We need to think them through as we think how we live, the values that we hold as God's children. He calls those things an empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. It doesn't have the fulfillment that living as God's children does. So don't follow the world too blindly. And then he says, "Love one another." He says, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart." Being part of God's family will mean that we love one another as brothers and sisters. We need to work on our relationships together. Firstly, sort of getting to know each other, and that's what things like a directory and other things like that we have helps us to get to know each other, so that we can get to know each other and form relationships with each other. But we also need to deal with those relationships when conflicts arise. We need to seek to resolve those things and re-establish love. And that can be hard at times, but it's important. So we need to work on those things. We need more than just casual relationships. He talks about here, he says, love one another deeply from the heart. So there's those positive things, but he says to get rid of the negative things in our attitudes and actions. He says, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy and slander of every kind. Those sort of things that are so destructive of relationships, destructive of being who God called us to be. Now the world around us may accept those things, sort of treat them as normal, but we actually need to really reject them as being, you know, quite foreign to God's will and what God stands for. If you were making a cake, you would make sure that all the ingredients were the best that you could get. So you would have sifted flour, not old flour that's full of lumps or something like that. You'd put in plenty of sugar to make sure it's beautiful and sweet. You wouldn't even put in one bad egg into the mixture and make a cake out of that, or any sort of rotten fish or something like that. But relationships are far more important than making a cake. We need to put the right ingredients into our relationships. Love and patience, understanding, honesty, forgiveness, all of those things. They're the things that need to be put in and really worked on. And we really need to make sure there's no trace of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, those things, the words that tear down rather than building up. So we need to make sure those things, not only because that's what it is to love each other, but also that we might honour the God who has called us, that we might be a witness to him in this world which lives a different way. So we need to do those things. And we need to grow as Christians. So he says, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted the Lord's goodness, or that the Lord is good. I guess you've all seen a baby that wants to be fed. They can yell the whole house down, can't they? Even small as they are, they can make an awful lot of noise. You can't ignore them, because they crave milk. They demand it. They're not satisfied until they get what they want or what they need. What if we crave God's word like that? Whether you would yell the house down if the preacher didn't give you a good sermon, or if you didn't get time to read your Bible at home. Crave pure spiritual milk, he says, so that by it you may grow up into your salvation. We need to grow in our faith as we feed on God's word. And then finally, we need to live for God. So he's talked about our new identity. He's talked about the fact that we are living stones being built into a spiritual house. Often when the Bible uses the word house, it means temple. So it means that we're being made into a temple to glorify God, as physical temples do. We as his people are. We are to honour him. And he goes on to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. In other words, we're to glorify God, to honour him, as the priests offered sacrifices back in the Old Testament. And then finally, in those last couple of verses, where he says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So we're to honour God by our lives and in our words. We're to give him praise. We're to be a witness to him in this world. Shane Warne was a brilliant spin bowler. He represented Australia in many test tours and in matches here in Australia. And took a lot of wickets, but he didn't always act in a way that brought honour to the country or to his team. At times he was a bad boy. And we look to our sporting heroes to act well, to do well, to win the games for us, but we also want them to represent us well. We want them to bring honour to our country. But we represent God. The way in which we live either brings honour or dishonour to him, to his name. And it's part of our witness to the world around us that we bring honour to him. And so we are to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And let's just stop as we pray. Let's just think. How do you think of your identity? Is it actually significant that we are Christians, Christ ones, citizens of heaven, God's children, God's family, his people or his priests? Father, we thank you that you paid that awesome price, the price of your son's death on a cross, that we might belong to you, that we might have that eternal future with you, that we might be your children, your family. Thank you that you have given us rebirth, that your spirit is within us and helps us to live out that new identity. Lord, we pray that we might indeed live out faithfully, that we might see that new identity, that it might be something that grabs our attention and fills our hearts and so drives the way in which we do live. Lord, when that's difficult, we do pray for your help. And we thank you that you are there to help us. To help us when relationships are hard to handle, when it's hard to just be the people you want us to be. Lord, just help us to keep persevering, to grow, and to be your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.